Thanks for joining us on another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, along with Lou Ann Crane, and our host is psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson. These past two programs have featured our guest, Pastor Joshua Harris, talking about his ideas in regards to dating and courtship, and then sharing his personal story about meeting his wife, Shannon.
And Ryan, there's that very famous verse in Proverbs 31 that says, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than jewels." And yet I'm pretty aware it's become increasingly difficult in this culture for a guy to find a virtuous wife. Thankfully, Joshua Harris has written extensively about this whole idea in his book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, and then the follow-up book to that, Boy Meets Girl, Say Hello to Courtship. This second book was the main emphasis of the conversation your dad recorded with Joshua Harris. Josh is now the pastor at Covenant Life Church in Gaithersburg, Maryland, and he and Shannon have three children, Joshua Quinn, Emma, and Mary Kate.
And if our listeners didn't get to hear the first 2 days of this conversation, I invite you to go to drjamesdobson.org, where you can listen in online, or in the new Family Talk app for smartphones and tablets. Mm-hmm. Now, during this broadcast series, there were a lot of college students listening in and taking in all that Josh had to say. And after the discussion got underway, we decided to open up the microphones and invite them to ask some of their thought-provoking questions to our guest. Mm-hmm. So let's listen in now as my dad gets things started with a Q&A with Joshua Harris, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
All right, first question.
Hi, I'm Megan from Atlanta, Georgia. I just graduated from Furman University. And my question for you is, before you met with Shannon the first time, had she given you any idea of interest? I'm just wondering from a girl's perspective, I mean, what are we expected to do when we see a guy and we think maybe we're interested? Does there need to be interest expressed on our part?
Josh, that's a great first question, because our emphasis has been largely on the guy,
that's
coming
right.
from
yeah.
your point of right. view, and that's a great place mm-hmm. to start.
Well, you know, Megan, my perspective might be a little radical for people, but I really believe it's the guy's responsibility to initiate the relationship. And so I talk to a lot of girls that are like, this guy doesn't realize that I'm the one, and I just need to send him some kind of signal to let him know. And I always encourage them to say, you know what, wait. Allow him to be the person to do that. Don't take this into your own hands, because so many of the girls I talk to, they want to be ultimately in a relationship, in a marriage where the man is the spiritual leader, where the man is setting the pace. That's what they want. And so I say, if that's what you want, don't start the relationship off with you setting the pace. And so my encouragement would be to just wait and to be a friend. To be, you know, kind as you would to any other guy. But with Shannon, I respect the fact that she was interested in me, but I didn't know that. For over a year, she had this interest, but she kept it to herself and prayed and struggled it many times. But ultimately, I got my act together and approached her. So,
Megan, have you observed that girls are pretty aggressive today?
Yes, definitely. I think it's a message that media is giving that they should be. You know, if there's a shy guy, they say, well, you just go ahead. He's just shy. If you take the first step, then he'll respond.
Would you ever call a guy on the phone if you didn't have an established relationship with him?
No, I probably wouldn't. My parents don't allow that.
Let me see the hands
Megan,
of those
any,
of you.
Are there any guys that we could just list their name and say, you really need to give Megan a call? What do you want to call?
No, thanks. Not on national radio.
We don't have television cameras here, but let me see the hands of those of you, the girls who are here, who would not make that call if there was not an established relationship. Could I see that? All right. How many of you don't agree with that? Okay.
Well, just a few.
It is, it's about 28 to 1. I would love to do an entire program with students one of these days about that matter of aggressiveness and what are the limits. There's a whole lot more there, Megan. We'll stop there because there's a whole line of people behind you. But thank you for the first question. And the second one.
Hi, I'm Mark from Sparta, Michigan. And I attend Trinity Christian College. And I just wondered, how did the devotional life change from courtship to engagement to marriage between yourself and Shannon?
Well, I think in the season of courtship, you don't want to be pursuing mutual study or prayer or anything that ends up just deepening the intimacy too quickly. I have known couples who have fallen into sexual sin because of prayer meetings on the couch, you know, those kinds of things. So you have to be real cautious and careful there. When we were courting, we were doing a study of the book of Acts together, and we'd be emailing back and forth about what God was teaching us. When we got engaged, we started going through some material with our pastor, going through some premarital counseling, talking about issues of the physical relationship. We save that to the very end. Talking about issues of communication, our roles as the husband and wife, what that would look like. And now as a married couple, we don't necessarily do devotions together, but we keep each other accountable. We ask how it's going. We talk about what God is teaching us. So it evolves and changes.
Next question.
My name is Hope, and I'm from Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina, and I just graduated from Lee University. And my question is, talking about the struggle of guarding your heart within the relationship, it's so easy sometimes for couples, once they even become involved in a courtship relationship, mm-hmm. to go ahead and assume that they are getting married, and they give their hearts away before they've actually got to that point. What were some of the struggles for you and your wife mm-hmm. as you sought to guard your hearts until you actually proposed?
Well, courtship is a very unique season. You are more than friends, but you're less than lovers. And so it is, in many ways, something of a balancing act where you're wanting to grow closer. You need to get to know each other, but you're constantly having to remind yourself that this person doesn't belong to me yet. They're not completely mine. I have to keep treating them as if there's a possibility that they'll belong to somebody else one day. So I think it's really important to be communicating a lot, to make sure that the focus and content of your communication is never going beyond where you are in terms of your commitment. So, for example, I didn't talk about, you know, how would you want the wedding to look like? What would you want that to look like? And we would need to talk about issues related to marriage, about family and those kinds of things, but it was always important for us to say, if the Lord led us to this. We never wanted to presume upon the future. And so I don't think that there is a hard and fast rule for how you do it. I think it forces you to be dependent on God. And for me, as the guy in the relationship, I was constantly saying to the Lord, Lord, help me to care and lead Shannon through this, so that whatever happens, whether we get married or we end the courtship deciding just to be friends, that I can look back and say I treated her with holiness and sincerity. And so watching your words, watching your actions, making sure they're not communicating more than you've actually established.
If courtship does not lead to marriage as at one time thought, has it failed?
I don't think it has. I think it's important to define a successful courtship as one in which, number one, you treat each other with holiness and sincerity. So there's purity and there's open, honest communication. But second, that you make a wise decision about whether or not to get married. And in some cases, a wise decision is, we're not right for each other.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that can be hard, but you can look back on that without regret if you've been sincere in the relationship.
Thank you. Next question.
Hi. My question for you is, right now, looking back on your single years, what do you see now that God was teaching you then? Maybe that now you have a different perspective now that you're married.
Sure. That's a great question. It's so hard when you're in the midst of your single years to realize what an incredible opportunity it is, what amazing potential you have to give yourself completely to God and to His purposes, to be growing closer to Him, to be serving in your church and in other opportunities. As I look back, I just see that more clearly than ever, that I was able to serve God in ways that I'm not able to now. And that's fine, because marriage is a wonderful God-ordained thing too. But whenever I talk to singles, I'm always wanting to say to them, don't be so preoccupied trying to find the boyfriend or girlfriend. Don't waste all this energy with, who am I going to be with? How is it going to work out? You're not going to be able to get these years back again. You're not going to be able to be in this place where you can develop the gifts that God has given you, where you can serve, where you can pick up and go wherever He wants you to go. And so I look back and I see the amazing potential. And every single I talk to, I say, don't take it for granted. It is a gift, whether it's 5 years more that you'll be married or just, you know, a year or less. Count every moment as a gift from God that you want to live to the fullest.
singleness is a gift, not a curse.
Exactly. It's not a form of purgatory.
You know how many singles feel that it's a curse?
Too many.
Yeah. And yet that very well may be God's plan. And if it is, we should be prepared to accept it.
And the encouragement I give them is, live a life now so that when you get married, you won't look back and say, if only I'd taken advantage of that time.
All right.
Hi, Josh. My name is Karis, and I'm from Beaumont, Texas, and I attend Lamar University. My question for you is, whenever you passed out of that time of courtship into the time of engagement, what changed in your relationship? You might think I'm aggressive, but I think I have a ring coming soon. So I'm just kind of wondering what is going to change? You know, what should change? What was your focus during that time?
Oh, that is a wonderful way to be preparing. Is it going to be a big ring, do you think? I think that in many ways it is especially freeing to the young lady, because I knew, obviously, much sooner than she did, that I want to marry this girl. I'm in love with this girl. I want to spend the rest of my life with her, while she's thinking, you know, I don't know where this is headed. I'm not sure what's going on. She knew it was getting more and more serious, but part of the reason that I proposed when I did was because I didn't want her to continue to be off balance, in a sense of, I think this is happening, but I'm not sure. I wanted to serve her by saying, I want this to be forever. And so that really was just a wonderful new season in the relationship, where it was no longer this question of, are we right for each other, but let's start looking forward to and anticipating all that God is going to do. A couple of things I'd encourage you to do if the Lord leads you guys to get engaged. Number one, don't let the wedding dominate your relationship. It can so quickly consume your focus and become the only thing you focus on. Second thing is, make sure that your engagement is also a time where you're pressing into talking about issues like communication, talking about what your family will look like in terms of priorities and lifestyle and those kinds of things. Too many couples focus on the wedding and then they get hit by the reality of marriage. So it's a time to be seeking to draw other couples into your relationship and be getting biblical, solid counsel about what marriage will really look like.
Okay.
Hello, my name is Bruce from Illinois, and I attend Wheaton College. And my question for you, Josh, is, as a young man growing up, thinking of love and thinking I know love and the feelings of infatuation, like, as you said, not being able to eat, drink, sleep, whatever, like, how do you know now that you kind of understand that that's not the correct way to view love? How do you know when you are in love?
Well, I think that we need to make our focus not so much, are we having the right feeling, but is God giving me the faith to serve and care for and be committed to this person for the rest of my life? He does give us those feelings of attraction and those feelings of love, but I don't think that should necessarily be the starting point. We want to start with God's description of what a godly man or woman looks like. We want to go from there to an evaluation of that person's character. What fruit do you see in that person's life, as well as just in the relationship? Is the relationship drawing you closer to God? It's also important to get the wisdom and the counsel of others. And so I don't think we should start with, does it feel right? And if it feels right, who cares about all the other indicators? I think we start with those other indicators that God has given us. And then if those feelings are there, I think we can have a confidence that God is in this and he's leading us towards marriage.
Hi, my name is Katie, and I'm from Little Falls, Minnesota, and I attend Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. My question is, it seems that society today gives teens the message that God's design for dating and marriage are irrelevant. Now, how do we as Christians explain courtship to an unbelieving and really confused generation?
You know, you'd be surprised how secular people will really latch on to the concept of courtship. Courtship does not have to be presented like Little House on the Prairie, Laura Ingalls running down a field and horse and buggy.
That's pretty good.
That's good. I've been surprised how, just in secular culture, that term is used so often. And when I talk to people, I say, you know, courtship, as when I use the word, I'm not talking about a set of rules. I'm not talking about a list of do's and don'ts. I'm talking about a season in a relationship where the man and the woman both understand that they're pursuing the possibility of marriage. And people who are not Christians, they look around at relationships. They don't like dating. I mean, you talk to single people, secular people, and they think dating stinks. They hate the whole, they hate the game of it. They hate the whole routine of having to, you know, act a certain way and try to play a part. And they see how ridiculous it is. And so to talk to them about the fact that, you know what, there's a better way, and there are principles in the Bible about caring for others and ultimately drawing that back to God's love for us and the message of his son sent for us, we can present the gospel. But they are often much more open to the importance of defining the purpose of a relationship than you might think. In some ways, I think Christians kind of lag behind. We're still kind of caught up in the whole dating mentality, and the rest of the world is starting to see some of the problems there. So I think it's a great chance to be really honest, not self-righteous in any way, but bold in sharing, you know, here are problems, here are solutions that the Bible offers.
Hmm. Hello, I'm Chris from Lincoln, Nebraska. I attend the University of Richmond. My question is, if you're courting a woman and one of her love languages is touch, how do you keep that relationship pure in the eyes of God and still meet her needs in terms of love and her feelings?
Well, that's where you say, I hope you're bilingual, because touch is not going to be the primary language we're using. I think it is good to recognize how the other person in the relationship communicates. I think that's valuable to be able to lead her through recognizing that this is not the only way that I communicate love to you. I've known of girls who have struggled because there wasn't that physical aspect of the relationship, and they had wrongly made that the emphasis. If he loves me, then he's kissing me. If he loves me, we're sleeping together, those kinds of things. And so I think it's a chance for the man to really strengthen the other ways of communication and to be leading by saying, we're not going to emphasize this. And you need to remember that when I don't express love through touch and all these other ways, I'm expressing it in a different way. And that will make that season, if the Lord leads us to marriage, all the more special, because we'll be able to communicate on the full spectrum. But I don't think that you should use that as an excuse to lower the standards that God has given you. That's an opportunity for her to express her love, to recognize if he were to do this, he would be violating his own conscience possibly, or being tempted in a way that isn't good. And so she can love you by saying, I'm going to go without that until the appropriate time that God has defined.
Thank you. Next question.
My name is Monica, and I go to Covenant College, and I live in South Florida. And my question is, how can a single woman guard her heart as she's waiting to be pursued?
Oh, that is a wonderful question. I wish that Shannon were here to give some of her wisdom.
Why don't you bring her?
I know. I'm an idiot. What? Oh, dear. But what I've heard her say to many different girls that she's spoken with is, this might sound trite, but to keep your focus on the Lord, to keep your focus on others, to be serving as much as you can. I know an important thing for her was not assuming that there was any interest until I had come and said something. A lot of girls can get, you know, 2 or 3 miles ahead of the guy as they start to read into things and plan their, you know, the bridesmaids' dresses and so on. So I think it's really important to guard your heart by not assuming anything about the future, by reminding yourself that until a guy initiates that, you shouldn't assume there's anything there. That's very difficult. I think it helps to have a girlfriend or two, limit the circle, but those that you can go to and say, ask me how I'm doing because I'm struggling with this. I want to honor God by not letting my emotions, you know, carry me away.
And that is tough when you want what you want.
It is.
And it sometimes gets tougher as time goes on.
Well, you know, the beauty of God's plan is that, you know, he's made men and women to complement each other. We're different. We have different opportunities and responsibilities in relationships. The truth is, it seems easier, I think, when you look at the guys, like they get to be the one to initiate or whatever. But it takes courage there, too. You know, there's stepping out and expressing interest when the girl might say, sorry, buddy, you know. And yet you have a different challenge. You're having to trust God in a different way to say, I'd like the guy to be the person that initiates that and allowing me to respond to it. And so it's a different situation, but it's just a different way of trusting in the Lord and saying to him, I want you to be in control of this.
Josh, you mentioned in Boy Meets Girl that you have some pretty strong feelings about what the masculine role is in marriage.
Right.
And you described in here what it is not. Mm. What isn't it?
Well, I think today we see in culture and all around us, really, a very passive portrayal of what a man's supposed to be. They really set up these two options. You're either passive, doing nothing, or you're aggressive and overbearing and dominating.
Yeah.
And that's not the picture of biblical masculinity that God has for us. I believe we're called to be servant leaders and initiators, not leading in a way that's overbearing, but leading in a way that is serving, that's saying, I want to care for you by being the person to lead spiritually in the relationship, by setting a course. And it's a beautiful thing, the way a man and a woman complement each other in marriage. Neither one is upheld while the other is degraded. They are both reflecting something of God's character and God's plan. So,
Next question.
My name is Josiah from Lexington, Kentucky, and I attend Malone College in Canton, Ohio. My question for you is, how do you go about being a servant leader as a guy in a relationship, in a courting relationship, and being everything that she needs for you and putting yourself at her feet as Christ did for his disciples, but not getting too attached emotionally? Like you said, girls a lot of times can be 2 or 3 miles ahead of guys and can read into things a lot more. So how do you know, be special to her, romantic or whatever, but not too much? Like, I understand guarding your heart and wanting to draw the line, but how do you devote yourself to her but not become attached in case it doesn't work, if you know, because you don't know that it's going to be marriage?
Right. Well, that's where you as the guy are setting the pace for the level of the romantic expression. You want to be growing in different areas. You want to be growing in your friendship. You want to be growing in your fellowship together. And I think the romance comes sort of at the tail end. It's an important aspect, but it grows as your confidence grows that this is the person that you want to be with. And so you want to try to bring her along, if you will, so that she's at the same place that you are. So at different times in the relationship, there are different expressions of romantic affection that are appropriate. I remember one guy I know, his name is Steve, he was being really standoffish, if you will, throughout the courtship because he didn't want to mess with her heart. He didn't want to play with her heart at all. But this was making it difficult for Nicole, the girl he was courting, to really open up to him and feel like this was for real. And so her parents actually took him aside and said, you know, Steve, you could kick up the romance a little bit here. And he was like, okay, I'll do that. And, you know, he had the flowers and everything waiting the next day. The point is that the romantic expression should reflect where the guy is in terms of commitment. And that takes wisdom, that takes prayer, but that's another expression of that care.
Josh, are you glad that you went the direction you went?
I am. I have seen the fruit of it in my marriage. We're still learning a lot, but we see the effects of having built trust and purity in our courtship.
And I trust the Lord will continue to bless you, Josh. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, the Lord certainly has continued to bless Joshua Harris. As we mentioned earlier, he and Shannon have been married for nearly 14 years now and have 3 children. We've really enjoyed these past 3 days with him. Ryan, there were just some great questions there from the students in the audience.
Well, they were so thought-provoking, and you know that there were a lot of conversations had about this topic following that recording. And I trust our listeners have received some practical wisdom from Pastor Harris. If you'd like to pass along this program to someone you know who maybe is dealing with this personally or has a child who's getting ready to deal with this or is currently in a dating or courting relationship, call us. We have it available on CD, or tell them about the Family Talk app where they can listen to this program and many more at their convenience.
And whether you call or go online, also ask about how you can receive a copy of Pastor Harris's best-selling book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, which, as you can probably tell, takes a pretty honest and slightly different approach to the whole courting process. Ask about either the book or the CD when you're online at drjamesdobson.org or give us a call. The phone number is 877-732-6825. And I would mention, Ryan, add that to your contact list on that iPhone so that you have us on speed dial whenever you need to get in touch with us.
It's a great idea. Also, when you visit our website, be sure to look at some of the blogs we have posted from members of the Family Talk staff, including you and I, Luann.
That's right.
Also, on our website, you'll find helpful articles, resources, and past broadcasts we've recorded on the issues of dating and marriage.
And before we close, I do need to remind you that Family Talk appreciates your financial support. We are a nonprofit ministry, and I assure you we are very frugal about how we use your hard-earned donations to help families like you've heard today. We are also so grateful for your prayers as we continue in this ministry. We want to bring broadcasts and resources like this today to everyone around the country.
Again, thanks for joining us, and we invite you back tomorrow for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
It's America's foremost family authority on Facebook. For up-to-date program information and the latest articles and insights from psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson, go to your Facebook page and search for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Again, that's Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on Facebook. Join the growing number of fans and like us today.